It would be a truly historic night at PNC Park in Pittsburgh. Rich Hill and Trevor Williams locked in a pitcher's duel.
3-2 pitch. Runners are going as a ground ball hit up the middle. A diving stop by the second baseman. Harrison gets up and throws. And it's in time to get Logan Forsythe. Josh Harrison worked to the third base side of the second base bag to make that dive, came up with the ball, and was still able to throw out Forsythe. What a play.
That's the goodest defensive play from a second baseman as you're going to see this year.
So the Pirates have lost 8 of their last 10. They're 34-30 at home, but 6 games below 500 for the season. They started tonight, 8 games behind the first place Cubs in the Central Division, with the Brewers and the Cardinals knocking on the door. Swing and a miss, strike 3, and Rich Hill has been absolutely picture perfect in the first 5 innings. It's been 15 up, 15 down. He has struck out 6. 10th pitch of the at-bat coming up. Runners leading off. They'll be on the move. Williams set. There goes the runners. The pitch on the way. Line drive. Caught it. Shortstop by Jordy Mercer. He made the leaping backhanded catch. And for the Pirates, the second brilliant play tonight. It was Mercer on this one at shortstop. And Forsythe was robbed of an RBI single by Harrison at second base back in the fourth. What a game this is. The Dodgers are turned away again. They have stranded 10 runners in the ballgame. Sutton again in 75. Went 7 1/3 against the Buccos as far as a perfect game going. But we'll see what Rich Hill does tonight. The 0-2 is a line drive. Caught by Utley. And Chase Utley, he looked like Superman flying through the air, able to catch the ball and hold on to it. An absolutely amazing catch by Chase Utley.
Parallel to the ground, outstretched as far as you could go. Didn't think there was a chance for that. That looked like a sure base hit. And he picked it off. I'll tell you, and when you throw strikes the way Hill's throwing tonight, your defense is on the balls of their feet, ready to make a play for you. And boy, did Utley ever save him right there.
For Rich Hill, he has struck out 10 batters tonight. This has been just a wonderful game by Hill. The first pitch, ground ball to third. Forsythe can't field it. By the time he picks it up, the runner is safe at first base. Well, that's the first base runner. It was a one-hopper and a very playable ball.
Yeah, he was playing even with the bat just in case Mercer was going to bunt. But you're right, Rick. That's a ball you make in the big leagues. And I'm sure Forsythe would be the first one to tell Rich Hill, I got to make that play.
Official scoring here in Pittsburgh, we talked about it a little bit last night, has been, well, contentious, but that is scored as an error, and rightfully so.
Absolutely agree.
It's not one of those things, well, we'll hold off and see what happens and rule on it later. It's a ball that, well, it was not an easy play. None of them are, the big league. Be honest with you. But it was a playable. Well, the Dodgers have won all 5 games against the Pirates this year, but the Buccos from 2014 through last year gone 15-5 against the Dodgers. Marte trying to end it, and hits a ground ball to Hopper. In between, hop picked up by Seager, throws to first, and we are headed for extra innings. Rich Hill has not allowed a hit through 9 innings. That's the good news, but Rich Hill has not seen a run scored on his behalf. No runs, 8 hits, 11 left for the Dodgers. No runs, no hits. 1 left by the Pirates. Fly ball, left field, hit well. Going back, Granderson, he leaps up. Did Granderson catch it? No, it's out of the ballpark. And Rich Hill, who did not allow a base hit in 9 innings, gives up the leadoff home run here in the bottom of the 10th inning to Starlin Marte, who hits his 5th of the season. And the Dodgers frustrated because they had 8 hits. They left 11 runners on base. Marte greets Hill in the 10th with a home run to end it. So Rich Hill, just a valiant effort tonight. He went 9 innings, did not allow a base hit in this ballgame. And sometime there is no justice in this game or in competition itself. Hill had 10 strikeouts. But it was Starling Marte who gives the Pirates their 61st win of the season and sends home almost 20,000 people very happy. and a very frustrating inning to a brilliant night by Rich Hill.
Rick, he got a four-seam fastball right down the middle. I mean, exactly down the middle, looking at the replay, and at the knees or just a hair above. And it's just, it's the only mistake pitch of the night. I mean, he had impeccable command on the corners all night long.
Josh Harrison becomes the first player in baseball history to end a no-hit bid with a walk-off home run. Rich Hill, meanwhile, becomes the first pitcher in at least 100 years to throw a complete game of at least 9 innings, allow one hit and no walks, and lose. It was just about the most crushing way a team can lose a baseball game, and it happened to a team which has lost the least in 2017 of any team in the majors. Here is Dodger skipper Dave Roberts on LA's crushing 1-0 walk-off loss in 10 innings in Pittsburgh.
It was something really special to watch, and he was obviously in control all night long, filling up the strike zone. Breaking ball was right where it needed to be. Fastball at the top of the zone, and just the location and just the command of the game. And he competed, and every pitch was with a purpose. And unfortunately, we just couldn't get that one hit. We've done it all year long, and that's baseball. But I think if you look inside of the game and see the rapport that he and Austin had together, really in sync all night, obviously, and the play Chase made to save the no-hitter, and even to the last, that home run right there by Harrison. Granny's going full speed into the wall, gives it everything he has to make a play on it, and almost had it. So, can't say enough about what Rich did tonight.
Did you ever think that in your managerial career in 2 years you'd have to have a decision when it came to Rich Hill, be it either a perfect game last year or at the time a no-hitter going into the 10th?
No, that's not. I guess I signed up for this, but that's what happens when you have good pitchers and guys that really can miss bats. And we needed Rich to go deep into the game tonight, and he saved our entire pen. But today, tonight there was no blister issue, and for me, he felt good, felt strong, and it was more of where he was at with the pitch count, and so I felt that. To start the 10th, 95 pitches, I felt there could be a quick inning. There's a potential that he can keep going, and unfortunately that wasn't the case.
To your point, though, if you're comfortable enough sending him out there for the 10th, it's almost as if you're saying he's going out for the 11th, too, to preserve it.
And it's kind of where that 10th would play. I don't think that I was 100%, sold that it was going to be regardless of, it kind of was contingent upon that 10th inning. So I just wanted to give him an opportunity. To be efficient in the 10th, to then have a discussion for the 11th.
Dave, I remember after that night in Miami, you said you felt like you're going to lose sleep over the decision. I mean, does this one just kind of like make you sad? How do you?
I think so. Yeah. And I think that sad for Rich. It's a game that we got beat, but I think that you look at opportunities that a player has and to have a chance at a no hitter and. He gave himself every opportunity, and so it's more of feeling, very excited for Rich because he threw the ball so well tonight. But disappointed that he didn't get that no-hitter.
When you shake your head at sort of the strangeness of it, I mean, offense has not been a problem for you guys all year, and the one night where you guys kind of go quiet is when Rich is literally throwing a no-hitter.
It's and you look at that at-bat that Logan had, and. We had runners on base in scoring position all night long, and Williams kept making pitches that he needed to make or getting the ground ball when he needed. But that Logan at bat, I thought that was going to get by Mercer's glove and 10 pitch at bat, something like that. So unfortunately, we just couldn't push that one across.
When you see Rich make the tag on Bell and Adrian have that sliding, tossing, whatever catch that he got on the pop-up and then Chase with that great defensive play, are you thinking, plus the way that Rich is thrown, you're thinking something might be happening?
Absolutely. And you look at throughout history, and when there's when you're talking perfect games and no-hitters, there's always a couple plays that you can look at that sealed it. And so we were starting to smell it a little bit.
Would he have gone back out for the 11th?
It was more on how many pitches he would have ended up with the 10th, yeah.
Is that probably the best game in your career, player, manager, whatever, where that a pitcher has lost the best effort that wound up with a loss?
Yeah, no walks, 10 punch, 9 plus, you know, loses on a homer? Probably, yeah. I mean, that I can recall right now, yeah.
You guys have a flair for the dramatic, don't you?
We do. You know, with us this year, we obviously find a lot of ways to win, and we've shown that. But tonight we found a different way to lose. So, but I think the most important thing is, I think the story is the way Rich did the baseball tonight.
It was a clear demonstration on Wednesday night of just how cruel baseball can be. Rich Hill became the first pitcher in baseball history with a complete game of at least 9 innings, giving up just one hit, walking no one, and somehow taking a loss. Hill spoke about his incredible night in more ways than one following a 1-0 loss to the Pirates.
Maybe around the 7th, I think after the 7th inning, you know, realized that we had a good chance of having something happen. And, you know, everybody did a great job. Chase made a great catch. Guys make great plays in the, you know, in the infield and in the outfield. And Austin Barnes was incredible behind the plate. So, you know, falls on me on this one. One bad pitch, ran back over and, you know, tip my hat.
I'm not certain it falls on you entirely.
Yeah. it was a bad pitch. So, you know, late in the game like that, you need to make better pitches. So, you know, tomorrow we get an opportunity to win the series. So, come back and get tomorrow.
Can you believe your lack or perhaps lack of luck as far as either concern with the perfect game last year and having to be taken out and then an opportunity to get the no-hitter and having to go 10 innings to get it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think of luck. I think it's just, you know, you continue tomorrow, you put in the work and it's a new day and then you just keep moving forward. That's all it is. And I think, you know, sometimes it's luck is disguised as that. So that's what it is. You just continue to keep working, keep putting your head down, and keep moving forward.
You were very gracious on the error at third. Just your thought about that, that's out of your head, you just move forward.
Yeah, I mean, Logan's the leader of this ball club. You know, he's one of the main guys in here. I mean, everybody top to bottom, and, you know, goes to him. And, you know, so there's a ton of respect towards Logan. There's, you know, I just felt for him and, you know, knew that we would come back and you know, making pitches and get out of the inning.
10 punches, is the best you've felt as far as your stuff was concerned? You always talk to us about how much of a field pitcher you are.
Yeah, we worked on some stuff in Detroit in the bullpen with Rick and myself, and, you know, trying to level my shoulders off a little bit more, and it helped immensely, I think, today with, you know, making the curveball and the fastball come out in the same, you know, respect in the same kind of plane. And the hitters, you know, obviously had a difficult time, I think, seeing the discrepancy between the two. You know, with that said, we, you know, put that work in and carried it over into the game, and that was something that was, you know, good to see. That was, you know, a real positive thing.
Thinking back to the game in Miami last year, mm-hmm. What were your emotions after that one, and how does it compare to the way you're feeling now?
I just think right now it's just looking forward to tomorrow. I know it sounds a little boring, but that's it. Looking forward to tomorrow and getting in the gym and getting ready for the next outing. I mean, we have a lot of great things going on here. So that's something that you have to continue to do is put in the work and keep, like I said, keep just, you know, one day at a time. Tomorrow's a big game. We got to take the series and get back home with taking the series.
Beyond the disappointment and bitterness of losing, can you feel a sense of pride in what you accomplished tonight?
I don't really know if I'd call it pride. I just think it's, you know, you just continue to put the work in, and really it's just, again, it's that one day at a time approach. And it sounds mundane and cliche, but to continue to keep putting yourself out there and continue to keep making strides in the right direction as we did today. Today was a huge, stride in the right direction for myself and for everyone, but for myself mechanically, and to come out of it physically feeling well. That's the way I look at it.
You go into the 10th with 95 pitches. The fact is, if you have an efficient 10th, you're probably going out for the 11th. Are you pleased with the way that your body has responded, the health and everything, to allow you even to be in consideration for those innings?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, it's all a byproduct of what you do in the 4 days in between to the, you know, getting out there to the start day. So, you know, you put in the time, you put in the effort, and it shows out on the fields. And, you know, it's, and there are other days where it doesn't go as well as you want it to, but, you know, today it is a disappointing one, you know, made one bad pitch, but, you know, they played a great game too, and those guys, you know, pitched their tail off and played really well too, so can't discredit that at all.
On the play Chase made, did you think that was going to be a base hit?
It was so quick, I didn't have time to react to it. So, yeah, it was a great play. Just see him flying through the air, and I mean, kind of have that image burned in my head. it's pretty cool.
And you look back at it when you think something special might happen. You look back to Adrian's, you know, grab on that pop-up, and even your tag on Bell's hit. Mm-hmm.
Sure. I mean, I think you can look at it multiple ways. There's a lot of guys in here that have had, you know, games with one or two hits, and you know, maybe two infield singles. You can always say they could have won one way or the other. But, you know, I mean, if I say that's baseball, it's still cliche, but that's the way it is. That's the way the game is, and I think that's why it's, you know, fun.
Rich, there was a guy here, Harvey Haddix, who pitched 12 perfect innings and wound up on the wrong side of it. I'm wondering if you are aware of that story?
No.
Not. I guess you're one of the few now who could sort of relate to how that feels, but it seems like you're taking it mostly in a positive way, that this was a step in the right direction for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we, you know, like we have something bigger than any individual here that's going on, and I think that's something that, you know, we all realize and have to understand that, you know, again, tomorrow's another day, and it's a big day to come back and win the series. You know, and we're in it for the delayed gratification, not the instant gratification. I think tonight would have been, you know, one of those points of, I don't know how you would define it, but, you know, at the end of the year, wherever we end up or wherever we fall in, you know, with the season, you know, it's really that culmination of the, you know, I've said it before, the days, the weeks, the months, the years, and often cases, the decades that, you know, guys put in to get to this point, so.
Curtis Granderson was oh so close to getting a glove on the Josh Harrison fly ball to left, which turned into a walk-off home run to send Rich Hill and the Dodgers to a heartbreaking 1-0 loss at PNC Park on Wednesday. The Grandy man spoke to the media following the game.
Harrison has been swinging the bat all series long to all sides of the field and hit it just far enough outstretched. You know, it beat me, got over the fence. I was about a half a second too late getting to the spot. And even still then, probably was about a foot out of my reach. But, you know, wish we could have got him some of the runs across the board earlier in the game to allow him the opportunity to, one, get the victory and, two, preserve potential history that he possibly had a chance to be a part of. But, you also got to give credit to the opposition as well for doing everything he needed to do to keep their team in the ball game. He got himself into some jams. He got himself out of jams. So, true pitcher's duel tonight.
Did Williams do so effectively early on?
He was able, once he did get guys on, you know, got some double play balls to get himself out of it. I think that was the big thing. I hit into one, Utley and hit into one. A lot of ground ball outs, not too many hard hit balls that went out there, which shows, you know, he didn't necessarily have to add too much until later in the game and just change up speeds a little bit, locate down the zone, throw strikes. And if he did get on, just continue to trust his stuff and get some ground balls.
As a fielder, at what point do you start to notice something special could be happening and put you on your toes even more?
It's tough because I noticed the game was going quick. I just didn't realize that he had a no-hitter at that point. I just knew that both teams were making quick outs, and then I happened to look up and saw that they had a zero, but we also had a zero in the run category as well. So it was probably about the sixth inning is when I started to notice it. Typically, fans start yelling stuff about it, especially the opposition, but no one said anything, so I think they were trying to see what could happen as well.
There's more pressure goes on you when you know that you're perhaps trying to preserve history too.
The weird things like balling the lights, you know, making sure you get a good jump on a ball, you know, going up against the fence like we did. If it happens to be in the middle innings, the twilight ball, that's a little tough to see when the sun's gone down, but it hasn't been too dark out there. So those are the ones that you get worried about. The spectacular plays like the play Utley made just happen. You know, you don't do anything different to put yourself in a situation where you're going to die for a ball. Those just end up kind of being a part of it. It's the one that you should get, but something gets in the way and you can't catch that one.
Austin Barnes had the pleasure on Wednesday night of catching all nine of Rich Hill's nearly perfect no-hit innings, but then also had the heartbreak to see Josh Harrison's walk-off home run land in the seats in the 10th inning, sending the Dodgers to a crushing 1-0 loss. Barnes spoke to the media following the game.
Yeah, it hurt. That was a tough game, the way it ended. Yeah, we just didn't come through for him offensively. He deserved it. He did a hell of a game. And it hurts.
No walks, 10 punch, just what was making him so effective?
He was just on. He had his fastball had life, and his curveball was pretty sharp. And he just kept bouncing back and forth with, slow speed and the fastball. And when he's doing that, man, he's tough. There's the speed differentials. It's pretty significant. And, that one hurt.
At what point do you think there's something special brewing?
There were some really nice plays that we made to keep it going, and you kind of felt like we scratched one through. It was kind of meant to happen. Looks like it wasn't, though.
What do you make of the offense that's been so potent all season long, and then of all games to kind of go cold there?
Yeah, it doesn't feel that great. Not being able to scratch one in for Richie, and it was a little disappointing.
Veteran pitching coach Rick Honeycutt has seen many spectacular pitching performances in his day, but perhaps none more spectacular or perhaps heartbreaking than the one that Rich Hill turned in on Wednesday, as he became the first pitcher in baseball history with a complete game of at least 9 innings, 1 hit allowed, no walks, and the pitcher somehow took the loss. Here is Honeycutt speaking to the media after the game.
Just everything. I mean, this guy was just pounding the zone with his fastball. Obviously, his command of his fastball and his curveball was just outstanding. But, I mean, it starts, I think, with how well he was commanding the fastball and getting ahead with it and able to then expand up. He just painted away and mixed in. He and Barnsey just worked great tonight.
How much does this one hurt your heart a little bit?
I'm sick. I mean, it's as painful as having to make what happened a couple years ago down in Miami. This is almost worse because for him, to throw that well and to lose that way. But anyway, just a tremendous effort. Extremely proud of him. He's just a gamer. It's like you're pulling teeth to get him to come out.
Last year, when you guys had to take him out, it was because of a health issue, a blister issue. This time, it was just not enough time in the game and, kind of lack of being able to scratch a run across. Just how disappointing can that be sometimes?
Well, it's so tough, I think being on the road because we got to score and for him to go back out. I mean, it's like you're waiting for something, the hit so that you can take him out kind of deal. I think that's probably looking back. I mean, that's what makes it even, because you don't want anything bad to happen, and this was the worst thing that could happen, So, I mean, it was just another, I was telling Doc, but I mean, literally like 2 pitches before it happened, I said, this is so painful right now.
He did say, though, because he had a very refreshing approach to it, that you guys did work on some things mechanically as far as flattening out his shoulders a little bit. What more could you tell us about that?
Yeah, I just felt like his curveball is so devastating, and I just felt like too many of them were leaving up, and there were balls right out of his hand. And he'd made the great change with abbreviating his windup about 8-9 starts ago, that he's been so much better. And then just felt like that there was still a little bit, to make the curveball more competitive looking. Anyway, he just worked on the side. We talked about it, and he was able to take it into the side and been able to take it right into the game. And I think overall it just helped his overall command with both pitches.
The Dodgers send Hyun-Jin Ryu to the mound on Thursday. He'll be opposed by Chad Kuhl.